You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Hey, last week our youth ministry sold some hot dogs and drinks. I've got some photos here. I mean, honestly, I must be honest to the youth here. They weren't gourmet sausages. The onions were a bit overcooked. And the can of Coke could have been a bit colder. But here's the amazing thing. I find myself last week having hot dogs for lunch after the AM service. And then I find myself having hot dogs for dinner after the PM service. I just had hot dogs throughout the whole day. But there was something special about the moment where I was spending and handing over the $5.50 for a hot dog and a drink. That little small purchase made me feel quite good. And here's why, because we all know that that money was going towards the youth ministry. It was going towards youth camp. You know, we all have a desire to see our next generation follow Jesus, meet Jesus, surrender and let Jesus be their Lord, their Master, their Savior. And so something about that $5.50, where as it left my pocket or my digital pocket, towards you, it made me feel like I won. You know, that $5.50 probably cost you $1 to make, but I felt good. I won. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us, we kind of felt good as well, that there was a victory. And here's the reason why. Because deep down, there's something about giving. When we give to something that is greater than ourselves, it makes us feel good. Because some of the best moments in life is actually when you're giving and not when you're receiving. And when you give to something where you know it's going to have kingdom impact, it makes you feel that you've done the right thing. And that's exactly what we see in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul begins to say, I want to encourage you to give. And I'll give you 5 reasons why you ought to give. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to encourage us to be generous with our finances. You know, this is a church where we rarely talk about finances. But it happens to be the fact that we're in this series and chapter 9 speaks about giving generously. And so I've got 5 points for you. Reasons or the fruit of giving. And I'll tell you what they are if you're taking down notes. And I'm going to pray and we'll work the text together. 5 reasons. Because generosity multiplies. Because generosity delights God. Because generosity displays your trust. Because generosity impacts vertically. And because generosity strengthens horizontally. That's where we're going today. Let me pray and we'll work the text together. Lord, I pray now that as I begin to teach and expose the beauty of Scripture, will you speak to your people? I pray, God, that this is not a condemning message, but rather this is a message of invitation for us to be generous with our giving. And I pray, God, that your word is clear, that we will be hearers and doers of your word. So, Lord, would you help me? Would you use me in this time to expound and teach your word to your people? May we lean in. May you open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have to say to us all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're up to the 9th chapter, and I'm taking you from verses 6 to the end. Here's my very first point. Because generosity multiplies. Let's look in verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let's stop right there. This is actually a proverb. This is a farming, agricultural proverb. And what Paul is saying is simply this. You sowed more seed, you plant more seed, there's a better chance of reaping a larger harvest. It's common sense, right? So the farmer that sows, say, 100,000 seeds should reap more than the farmer next door that sows 10,000 seeds. Does that make sense? It's a proverb. It's not a passage to say that if I give more, then I expect God to give me more. A lot of times we hear preachers preached along that line. It's not what Paul is saying. Not every generous giver will become wealthy. Let me make that very, very clear. That's not saying that God cannot bless you back. Of course he can. God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, but we must never, ever make the assumption or the expectation that if I give more, well, verse 6 says that I will reap more. No, that is not the context of this chapter. The principle is this. It's a multiplying effect when we are generous in our giving. So in other words, if we want to see more gospel fruit, if we want to reach the next generation, if we want to bless our city, if we want to see more souls, we want to see more missionaries out there, guess what? It starts with generous giving. There is a multiplying effect when we are willing to give for kingdom work. That's the meaning of that verse right there. So for example, you know that every Friday in our church, we run, and this is not boasting, but we run one of the largest play groups in our city, right? So our Tiny Treasures play group that happens every Friday during school term, right, would have around 50, 60 people come. They would come and they would have rhyme time, so the kids are singing nursery rhymes, and they would have an arts and craft, and there's morning tea, delicious morning tea. The staff, we love Friday mornings because we get a bit of the morning tea. We get barista made, none of this instant stuff, barista made coffee, all right? And all that is free. It doesn't cost our community anything. Around 75 to 80% of the people that come to our playgroup are not from this church. They're from our community. And it's all free. And you know how it's possible? Because of your generosity. Your giving. That's gospel impact. That's the multiplying effect that we see here. You know, I have a Singaporean brother of mine that sometimes I mention. He has given millions of dollars away. Millions of dollars away towards gospel work. And through this man's generosity, many people have come to the faith. Many church leaders have a church building. Many missionaries have a place to stay. Many pastors in Japan are encouraged through his free leadership conferences every year. And this brother of mine, he's not a pastor, he's not a preacher, he's not an elder, he's not even a church leader. However, he has participated in gospel work through his generosity. And brothers and sisters, here's the honest truth. And this is the honest truth. Most of us here will never preach to thousands. You will probably never be a church planter, and you maybe would probably never become a missionary overseas. But every one of us can participate with what God is doing through generosity. Because every time you give, you're planting a seed. And every time you give, you're helping a toddler hear about Jesus at the playgroup. And every time you give, a teenager gets to go to youth camp and encounter Jesus Christ. And every time you give, you're helping a missionary overseas proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Because you and I need to understand that there is a multiplying effect when we are generous. Does that make sense? And that is a very good reason why we ought to be generous. Because God can use our finance as a seed and multiply for his glory. Amen? That's the first point. Secondly, is that because generosity delights God. Look in verse 7. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. The text is very clear, brothers and sisters, that we should be intentional. It's very clear. You should give whatever you have decided in your heart. All right? And what that means is this. You look at what you have, what you make. You look at your income. You set aside an amount and you give that. You decide that in your heart, and then whatever is left, you budget around that. You put God's portion aside first and you live off the rest. You invest, you renovate, You save, you travel, you spend. It doesn't matter. But the principle is that you decide in your heart first what you ought to give to God. And then you look at the rest and you live on the rest. Not the other way around. That's not deciding in your heart. It's not like, well, I will sort this out first and I need to travel here. And then I need this for my anniversary and I need this for whatever. And then whatever's left, I will decide. No, that's not intentional giving. So if you want to give 10%, you give 10%. If you want to give 5%, you give 5%. If you want to give 20%, you give 20%. It doesn't matter, all right? But you need to work that out first, because this is the most important thing to remember, church. Listen carefully. It is an attitude, not an amount, that God is more concerned. So figure that out. St. Augustine, great early church father, he says this: the Lord looks not at the gift, but at the love with which the gift is offered. That's why Paul says, God, what loves a cheerful giver. You see that? Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but there should be an attitude of joy. Reluctant giving, right, is like asking one of your children to share their lollies, right? And their hand lets go, but their heart is still holding on. That's reluctant giving. And God looks at that, right? And interestingly, the Greek word for cheerful is the Greek word hilaros. Hilaros sounds a bit like hilarious. Yeah, it's the same word. So what Paul is saying is that there should be gladness, there be joy. All right? God loves that when you give like that. And the Lord delights when his children gives. He delights when you give with joy. Listen carefully. He doesn't love you more if you give. Make that very clear. God's love for you and I is not dependent upon whether you give or you don't give, okay? So don't think that if you give more, God loves you more. No. His love for us is complete. It is perfect. It is unconditional. But here's the thing. When you live in accordance to God's will, when you do the things of God, when you say, God, I choose you over this world, God, I love you. God, I want to be obedient to what you're telling me. God, I want to be generous with my giving. In those moments, the Father in heaven, he smiles over you. He's delighted because his children is living within his purposes. That's what we see right here. Like parents, listen carefully. Parents, I'm pretty sure if you have multiple kids, you love all your kids equally, right? Just say yes, okay? You love them equally, all right? But I'm pretty sure that when you see your children live in the will of God, when they're honoring you and they're loving Jesus and they're praying and they're generous, you are delighted, right? You rejoice over them. You know, last week I heard my youngest daughter, Matilda, I heard a conversation with her in trance. So sweet. One of those proud father's moments, like there's a pretty tear running down my cheek. She was telling Tran how she dislikes the West Coast Eagles. I kid you not. And she loves the Dockers. And I just kind of said, my heart delights over that. Music to the ears. Amen? We're going to stop and move to the next point before it goes downhill. All right, point number three. Here's the third point. Because generosity displays trust. Look in verse 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Look carefully what the text is saying. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, God is the one who provides the seed. You see that? God is the one who multiplies the seed. God is the one who produces the harvest. It's all God. Everything you have and I have is all from God. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he says this in 1 James chapter 7, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. You see that? And Paul, he says the same thing. Look in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion. You see? God blesses us so that we can bless others. We can be generous, right? Because ultimately God has been generous to us. So when we are generous with our giving, right? What we are saying is that God, I trust that everything that I had was from you. Because it's not me. You gave it to me and I'm going to give it away. I trust you. I know, God, that my job is because of you. My career is all you. My ability to work, it's all you. My finance, my promotion, it's all you, God. Therefore, when you give, you are putting on display your trust to the God who's given you. That's what Paul is doing right here. And when you understand that, right, what happens is that you don't hold onto your finances tightly, but rather you release it freely because you know that God has blessed you. And you know that God will probably continue to bless you so that ultimately you can be generous. Here's the thing with a tight clenched fist. It will not open. And if the fist cannot open, it cannot receive from God. But when the fist and the arms and the hands are open, you can receive from God. And so the Christian who understands that ultimately what they have is from God, they receive and they give. They receive and they give. And that act of giving is saying, God, I trust you every step of the way. I trust that what I have is from you, therefore I give. And I trust that you probably give me more so that I can give. That's what he says right there, is that you have been enriched so that you can be what? Generous in every occasion, right? So that act of giving is saying, God, I trust you. Listen carefully. I know that this is a very blessed church. I know that you, a lot of you here, you are very, very blessed. And God has been very, very kind to you. Never, ever forget it started with him. He has been kind to you. So keep being generous. God has blessed you, Sun Life Church, not to get comfortable or to self-indulge. God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. Amen? And as you bless the people around you, as you give generously, you are putting on display your trust towards God. Jesus, he once said these words, recorded in Acts 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? So as you live generously, the world will see that your trust is actually not in yourself, but rather in God, the blesser. The world will see something special about you, because ultimately you know God has been so generous towards you. That is your trust on display. Amen? Fourthly, because generosity impacts vertically. Look in verses 12 and 13. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Look carefully in verse 12 again. The needs of God's people in Jerusalem were met by the Corinthians. So yes, the relief of poverty is very important to Paul. But you know what's more important to Paul? You know what's greater? It's the vertical impact. Look carefully in the text. He says many expressions of thanksgiving. He says your giving has resulted in many expressions of thanksgiving. And look carefully, praises towards God. You see that? You see, the Christians in Jerusalem ultimately praise God, thank God, worship God, glorify God because of the generosity from the Christians in Corinth. That's what Paul is doing right there. These Christians in Jerusalem understood that the blessing they received from the Corinthians was ultimately God was being so kind in blessing the Corinthians. So if you know your Bible, the Corinthians church, they were the richest church such a gifted church. And they were generous because they knew that what they had came from God. And so the Christians in Jerusalem saw that. And ultimately, they did what? They worship God. They praise God. You see, it started with God and it ended with worship towards God. That's the vertical impact. When we give, it helps Christians look towards God, worship God. Murray Harris, in his commentary, he says this. This is not ultimately about money itself, but about the way God's grace creates worship, love, and thanksgiving among his people. That's the vertical component that takes place when we are generous. You know, some years ago, there was a family in our church who needed to enroll their child to a particular school to help the child with some learning struggles. And this family in our church didn't have much. Money was tight. The bills were piling up. And they realized it was just impossible to get their child enrolled into this school with the specialized program. Someone from our church heard about their situation and approached me and said to me, Pastor, I feel led to pay for this child's tuition fee for the entire stay in high school. I want to be kept anonymous, but I feel that, you know, I'm able to do this, and I want to pay for this particular family's child school fee. Imagine that family who was struggling getting that news. They don't know who has given them the money. They don't know who is behind the scene trying to support their family. They are not spending their energy trying to figure out who is this person. They didn't go asking me, who is this person? No, they just simply worship God. Because God answered their prayers through someone else in the church. You see, that's what happens when we are generous. It ultimately leads to this vertical impact where God gets the glory and we thank God and we praise God and we worship God. Your generosity would do that. One of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, he says this, giving is a sacrifice greater than any other because it causes thanksgiving to be offered to God. And that's exactly Paul's point. That when we are generous towards one another, it results in praises towards God. That every dollar you give, right, in faith can become an act of worship in someone else's life. Generosity travels horizontally, but worship travels vertically. Amen? And here's my last reason, my fifth reason why we ought to give. So far you should know the first four reasons because what? Generosity multiplies, remember? Yeah? What's the second? Do you remember the second one? You've lost it already? Generosity does what? It delights. God delights in it. And generosity what? It displays our trust in God and it has a vertical impact. And now here it strengthens horizontally. Look at the last two verses of the chapter, verse 14 and 15. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So Paul is describing the affection of the Christians in Jerusalem towards the Christian in Corinth. Now, we need to understand this. That the Christians in Jerusalem, they were Jewish Christian, okay? The Christians in Corinth, they were Greek Christians, okay? You understand that, right? Because you've got Jerusalem on one side, Jewish Christians, Corinth in Greece, Gentile Greek Christians. And if you know your Bible, Jews and Gentiles, they don't like each other, yeah? They hated each other. But the wonderful thing about the gospel is that the barriers of ethnicity, racial differences, torn apart. And because of the gospel, there's no longer Jews, there's no longer Gentiles, but what one in Christ, amen? And in the text, what we see right here is that Paul is saying the Greek Christians are yearning for you. You know that word yearning in the Greek has a strong emotional tone. Like, I really miss you and I'm grateful for you. The text is very clear that these Christians were praying for the Greek Christians. So you have Jewish Christians praying for Greek Christians. You have Jewish Christians yearning for Greek Christians. They cannot wait to meet up with each other. That's what happens when we're generous. When we bless one another, it strengthens the unity horizontally. That we here are knitted together. Something special happens when you and I are generous towards one another with our finances. Our hearts are knitted together. That's what the Apostle Paul is describing. See, the Corinthians gave financially, but what came back was far more valuable than money. It was affection. It was prayer. It was relationship. It was family. You know, this is a family right here. You know that, right? We are a family. Church is not about coming here on Sunday and hearing me preach or singing a song. I tell you right now, if you think church is about coming here to hear me preach, there are many great preachers around town, trust me. You want to hear the best preachers? Hop on YouTube. I only get like probably 5 views. That's it. But there are guys who get 5 million views. Hop on YouTube. Church is not, listen carefully. Church is not a weekly event that we attend. Church is a spiritual family that we belong to. Let's not be this transactional community where we come and go. The world is filled with transactional relationship. You know that, right? What can I get from you? What can you do for me? How can this church serve me? We are family. This is the body of Christ. This is a covenantal community. We belong to one another in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in the same family with the same Father in heaven. So we have to be generous to one another. And when we are generous towards one another, it strengthens this unity. It strengthens this horizontal relationship of what it means to be family. Don't come to this place and then leave and not know anyone. That's not a family. A family is not, I just know the father and mother and then I don't know the siblings. That's not a family. We are family. So I say this, if you are doing okay and you notice a young adult that's struggling, and we all know that all young adults, they do struggle. They all love a free feed, right? Get them over. Bless them with a meal. Give them a fuel voucher so they can get to uni. That's being generous. That's only going to strengthen the relationship here. If your leaders or your pastors, the people that are leading you, are having a bad week, bless them. Pray for them. Get them over and cook them a meal. If your senior pastor is looking tired, bless him a trip to Bali. That's a joke. They don't want to go to Bali, Barcelona. but seriously, listen carefully. Paul says that the hearts of the Christians in Jerusalem yearn for the Christians in Corinth. That's a beautiful picture of the gospel. No Jews, no Gentiles. No different cultures. No different backgrounds. No different histories. United in Christ, bonded together by love. The late Pastor Timothy Keller, he says this, the gospel creates a new community where people who would never naturally be together become family. You know that, right? A lot of us here, we don't have anything in common. We are very different people, different walks of life, different career, different passions. But because of the gospel, we are family. And if we are family, we are to be generous towards one another. And if we are generous towards one another financially, it only unites and strengthens the unity here. Horizontally, we become strong. So there's 5 reasons why we ought to be generous. And I want to encourage you that if God is speaking to you and you are not giving, I want to encourage you. Not out of compulsion or obligation, but cheerfully. 5 reasons why we ought to be generous is because generosity multiplies. Generosity delights God. Generosity displays trust. Generosity impacts vertically and it strengthens horizontally. Amen. And so may God challenge you and encourage you. Again, it's not a condemning message, but a message of invitation for us to be generous with our finances. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's so clear. And I just pray that whatever you are saying to us right now, or anyone here who is questioning about giving, I pray that you would just encourage them to see what impact, what fruit generosity would have. Oh, bless our church. Thank you that we are a generous church. Continue to bless us, Lord. Remind us that everything we have is yours, and that we get to give it back to you and bless those around us. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.